From KXCI in Tucson, it is time for the classic pick of the week. Volunteer Chris Carey spends his Sundays selecting and researching our classic pick each week, and then he's kind enough to come in and share his findings with us. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, today I was going to talk about But Seriously, Folks, which came out May 16th, 1978, so it's 41 years old this month. This was Joe Walsh's fourth studio LP after leaving the James Gang, and it was his first solo release he created while he was with the Eagles. I think he did two albums while he was with the Eagles. Early on, he was born in 47 and attended college at Kent State University, and he was actually there in 1970 during the massacre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so that kind of profoundly affected him, and he decided to leave school. Of course, at the time, he had been playing around in different bands around Cleveland, including the James Gang. They actually released their first album while he was still a student at Kent State University. And then after the shooting, he dropped out. A couple months later, the James Gang Rise Again came out, their famous album that came out in 1970.
I love James Gang so
much. Yeah, James
Gang
is cool.
They hold up real well. And if you ever want to seriously geek out on James Gang, there's some great live footage out there on the YouTubes.
Yeah, I know. You can go down the rabbit hole and stuff like that. But when he left school, they released James Gang Rise Again. They released one more album, Thirds, in 1971. And then Joe Walsh decided to leave the band. I mean, James Gang was a band before he joined, and they released a couple of records after he left, too. He was actually asked, I didn't know this, he was asked by Humble Pie to join the band after Peter Frampton left, and he
really?
Yeah, and he declined.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. He declined and moved to Colorado, where he started Barnstorm. And now that album, which originally was released as the band Barnstorm, is now considered kind of Joe Walsh's first solo album. But technically, it was the band Barnstorm. And his second album, The Smoker You Drink, The Player You Get, was actually also, it was recorded as a Barnstorm album, and then the label decided to market it as a Joe Walsh album, and eventually the first album is marketed that way too. But I didn't realize that Barnstorm was actually a separate band. I just always knew it as the first album that Joe Walsh did after the James Gang. He ended up doing the third solo release, So What, which got some decent attention. But that is where he first met the Eagles, because Don Henley and Glenn Frey both played on that album. And when Bertie Leanan left the Eagles, they invited him to join the band in 1975. And so then Walsh played with them until they broke up in 1980. He played on Hotel California and The Long Run. Recording of this was recorded in between his commitments with the Eagles in 77 and 78 at Bayshore Studios in Coconut Grove. And Joe Walsh and Bill Simic were co-producers on that. Bill Simic, he worked with a lot of other bands, including the Eagles and Joe Walsh on several things, but he also worked with the Eagles and J. Geil's band and B.B. King and REO Speedwagon. He's an excellent, you know, producer, and we were just talking about how amazing this record sounds, given it came out in 78, and I don't think it's ever been remastered, at least that I know of.
Yeah, and they probably shouldn't.
Yeah, no.
It'd probably mess it up.
No, it's pretty well done record.
Yeah.
It sounds great. It's interesting to note, too, is even though this is technically Joe Walsh's album and he calls the shots, there's not including him, there's four Eagles that play on the album. So it's kind of like, you know, in some ways it's almost like an Eagles album in that, both Glenn Frey, Don Henley, and Timothy B. Schmidt all were on backing vocals. Don Felder played pedal steel on Secondhand Store. And then Joe Vitale drums in this, who was also drumming at the Eagles at the time. So it kind of does, there's a few songs on here that really do feel very Eaglesy. And, you know, and this is kind of from following, you know, their Dark Side of the Moon, Hotel California. And yeah, the Eagles' Dark Side of the Moon, and so it's really good, and I think it kind of gets all these different members of the Eagles at the time kind of on their game.
You know, I got to say that's really funny, because I've always been, if I have to pick and choose within the family of the Eagles, I've always very much defaulted towards Joe Walsh, and I was playing this album one night for my partner, and he was like, well, this is just the Eagles. And I was like, no, it's not. This is Joe Walsh. It's totally different. Unaware that there was that many
players. Yeah, I mean, it kind of was, and I think the difference being is that instead of Don Henley and Glenn Frey calling the shots. Joe Walsh was calling the shots on this. But so it was
different power dynamic, but a lot of the same.
But a very similar personnel for sure. Commercially, this record, obviously, he'd gotten a big boost after Hotel California, and this record got a lot of attention from a lot of people. It sold pretty well. It sold over a million copies, peaked at number 8 on the Billboard chart. Two singles, Over and Over and Life's Been Good. Obviously, Life's Been Good is still a mainstay of radio stations throughout the, well, at least throughout the North America. Critical reception, it was well received at the time, but over time, people have gone back to it and really think that this is one of Joe Walsh's best works, even considering everything he's done with the Eagles and with the James Gang. I do think that this, and I think the same thing, I think this record is a great, and I actually read one critic where he kind of compared this to Beach Boys' Pet Sounds, and that it's kind of introspective and really melodic, and I kind of see that. I don't know if I 100% agree with it, but I thought it was interesting.
That is an interesting, you know what I was just thinking when we were talking about different titles, what was the one after this?
So what?
Yeah. These titles are almost proto slacker, if you will.
Well, and I read an article.
You know, like I bet Beck likes Joe Walsh.
Probably,
you know?
Yeah. And I read an article where Joe Walsh was interviewed, and he personally always felt like one of his strongest assets was his sense of humor.
Yes.
And you can hear the sense of humor in a lot of his songs. I mean, you know, Life's Been Good is self-deprecating.
And you can hear a door shutting.
Yeah. but the other thing I should just mention before we leave is that also that Joe Walsh has always been considered an amazing guitar player, so much so that Rolling Stones placed him, you know, number 54 on their 100 greatest guitarists of all time. And the likes of Jimmy Page, Eric Clapton, and Pete Townsend have been cited several times of saying that they really, really like Joe Walsh's playing, and they think that he's an amazing guitar player.
He's certainly one of the ones that is so distinctive.
Yeah.
You hear Joe Walsh hit a string, and you can tell right away that it's...
Yeah, and the amazing thing is not only did he play with James Gang, the Eagles, he's also played on tons of albums for tons of different people. He's played on albums by REO Speedwagon, BB King, America, Rick Derringer, Keith Moon, Warren Zevon, Beach Boys, Michael McDonald, Steve Winwood, Bob Seger, who you were playing earlier. Mm-hmm. So he's pretty well respected by a lot of people.
Indeed, and by me as well. I am talking about Joe Walsh's, but seriously, folks, our classic pick of the week. Thanks, as always, to Chris for coming in. Anything else to add before
we
dive in?
Just that I really love this song at the station.
All right. Thanks, Chris.